everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of Beyond the Beat, a podcast about EDM news and culture. If you're just tuning in for the first time, it's great to have you, and we're just happy and excited to go for another episode. Samir, my man over in New York, and I'm in San Francisco. How's it going, dude?
It's going very, very well right now. I'm just like, you know, we took a week off from recording the podcast, which I think is always a good thing to do sometimes, you know what I mean? Just to take a week off, relax, spend some time with friends and family. So, you know, we took some time off to kind of relax and enjoy a little bit of the summer. But I gotta say, man, I really missed like putting out an episode and, you know, talking to you and recording the episode and like us working together to put it out.
Sweetheart. I know, dude.
I don't know what it is. I just like, it's become such a big
part. So sweet.
It's become such a big part of our lives that it just felt weird not recording an episode or doing something with the podcast. But man, I am so, so happy to be back at it. And this week especially has me ecstatic, dude. Absolutely excited.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, you know, and just thanks again to everybody for, you know, allowing us to have that week off. It's just crazy. Samir and I were reflecting about how, I mean, it's literally 24 weeks. Of doing, well, 23 weeks rather, yeah. Of doing an episode every single week. It's a lot, but you know what? I mean, just thanks again to all the fans out there and the people who have been listening, because you're just what gives us the motivation to keep on doing this every week. So, you know, really want to just let everyone know that's listening that we really appreciate all of it. And just, yeah, hopefully we can keep it going.
No doubt.
As you said, my man, there's a lot of stuff to get through, so I guess we can just, you know, kind of briefly look at what we're going to be talking about today. However, before we get into that, you can hear it building up right now. I've got an on repeat all the way from Brazil, another continent. This is Liu with Nave Especial. Sinto um frio na barriga, tudo isso me lembra a cena de um filme. O instinto selvagem que invade, a sensação de perigo nos define. Sinto um frio na barriga, tudo isso me lembra a cena de um filme. O instinto selvagem que invade, a sensação de perigo nos define. Celeste divino merece um hino, seu corpo mensagem sublime.
Alec, I love your pronunciation, dude. It sounded legit.
Are you sure?
Like, this is the first time on this podcast where you've ever like pronounced a name accurately.
Hey, okay, well, this is maybe the second one. I wouldn't say it's the first time, man. Come on, you gotta give me some credit. But you know, I've been feeling the Brazilian house a bit here.
Yes,
so
you have.
Liu's a, yeah, he's a, well, I also wanted to include, you know, producers and DJs that are actually big, right? But they're not big necessarily in the US or where a lot of our listeners are from, right? So because if you go to his Spotify, he's got like 18 million hits or something.
Wow.
Like that on the
nice.
Song. Oh, yeah. So they're big. I mean, Brazil's a huge place. So I figured, you know, show him a little love over across the pond here. But, you know, it's I'm really starting to get into some of this, the Brazilian house. You know, listeners, you can go back quite a few episodes ago now. I talked about Vintage Culture. That's another Brazilian DJ. So add this guy, Liu. It's L-I-U. This will all of his information will be in the show notes, but you know, add him to your playlist because he's got some really firehouse tracks. But moving on into what we're going to talk about today, we've got four new songs from artists we're watching, but from two artists. We've got Scribe. Tell you what, man, this guy just keeps getting better and better and better. I hate saying it. I say it every single time we talk about it, but he's just, you know, absolutely killing it. Same goes.
But it's true, dude.
It's true. I know. But I don't want to be like that, you know, record that's stuck on repeat. You get it?
Yeah,
right?
Very,
that's just saying funny. The same thing.
Boo.
I'm a funny guy. Come on. I'm a funny guy. I know. Come on, man. I thought you were supposed to be supportive. This is a supportive podcast.
Look,
this
I'm
is
down.
Plur. We're
I'm
not any anti-plur moment. Where's the love?
Oh, listeners. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to spoil it, but go ahead, dude.
Yeah. But then You Knew also came out with Fundamentals Volume 2. You know, and I tell you what, Samir, you picked this one out because I really wish I saw this as soon as it came out, but the song that we're going to be featuring and previewing a little bit of is New You Knew What The. What the f***?
Absolute fire track, dude. Absolute fire track.
Totally, man. I mean, you know, this was a artist that you picked up quite a long ago. I mean, gosh, this was like at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't it?
Like one of the OG artists that we're watching. And let me tell you, man, it's just been so great to see You Knew just consistently churning out quality tracks. On the last episode, we talked about how he just had a show in LA with another artist that we're watching, Saint Punk. The guy is making moves, man. He's making moves. He's already opened up for names like Mala in Las Vegas. Just a great guy. Really, really fun person to talk to. And of course, the tunes that he bangs out are just slappers. Pure heat from You Knew.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, this is just, again, continuing the trend. It's just really nice to see all of the artists that, you know, we featured on here doing really well. Because, I mean, they all genuinely are. It's just nice to see them starting to get some of the recognition that they deserve. So, you know, keep it up, guys. Scribe and You Knew, I mean, two awesome people. Listeners, if you're new to the podcast or you haven't heard of them before, definitely go check them out. We've got the links in our show notes. All right, so then quickly running through all of this, we've got a bunch of new music to cover. People like Illenium and the Chainsmokers. Rez dropped that Beyond the Senses EP. We're going to talk in detail about that. Hot Since 82, an 8-track EP. Gosh, this guy, Samir and I, are big, big fans of. Above and Beyond teamed up with Seven Lines as well. We'll be talking about that. And then W&W and 3R Legend with their new release, Khaleesi. It's an interesting one. We'll give our thoughts on that too. Delving into the news and culture section, we're going to talk about Ultra. God, we're talking about Ultra again,
Samir. Dude, but we can finally wrap up the saga.
There's going to be more. I'm telling you. There's going to be more shit coming out about it. There always is more with Ultra. Come on, just get shit together. I hate talking about it each time. But at least they got it sorted. That's the positive thing. We'll be talking about Seismic Dance Event. I mean, they've got a ridiculous lineup. Samir knows a little bit more about that, so he will go into it. But this is not a festival I've heard about before. So, listeners, if you've got other festivals or events that you know of that we haven't talked about, please send them to us. You know, this would be great. We're really trying to find some more, you know, hidden gems in terms of festivals. Then we've got some other news in terms of more of a DJ tour, DJ tech front. Newmark just released the Scratch. That's going to be cool to talk about as well. And then finally, going back across the pond to the UK, there's a big documentary we're going to be talking about. Lastly, we've got our two sections, which we're known for. That's the What Are We Listening To and Artists That We're Watching section. I tell you, for the Artists That We're Watching section, we got a funny story. I'll talk about it when Samir gets into his guy. But we got two fantastic artists. You know, we're so on the same page that, I tried to steal Samir's thunder away. But going back, my man, new music. Let's talk about Illenium and the Chainsmokers. What do you think of their song, Take Away?
I don't understand the hype. I don't get it.
Was there hype around this, or was I shielded from it?
Dude, how?
There was hype?
Dude, are you like joking right now? Are you being sarcastic? I honestly can't tell.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh my God. I was going to say, how? There was so much hype about this release. I mean, Illenium had played it at the end of his EDC set, announcing that he has a collaboration with the Chainsmokers. The song is called Take Away. It's just not for me, man. I understand why people like it, and I actually like the influence that Illenium had in this track. But look, I'm not saying that I don't like the track because the Chainsmokers are on it, but what I'm trying to understand is like what they contributed to this track. You know, like I know one of the guys from the Chainsmokers, I believe it's Drew, he's singing on the track. I know that. However,
great voice live.
However, this song, I don't think it lived up to the hype that people were giving it. That's my personal opinion. And if you're mad at me, you can tweet me at PodBTB. Alec.
No, because that's us. Tweet directly at Smith. I don't want to be included.
I don't have a Twitter.
Actually. Oh, God, that's right. Yeah. Smart. Smart move.
Thank you.
Smart move.
Alec, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to be involved in this angry Twitter fingers here, because I'm on the same page with you, man. I mean, I think it just didn't live up to the hype. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a bad song, and I... I also, you know, again, like, just to clarify, are there any new listeners on here? You know, you if you go back and listen to the previous podcast, we do rag on the Chainsmokers quite a bit. But it's all out of love. It's just not necessarily for us, but we definitely appreciate the quality, you know, that they're producing. And there's going to be people, there's a market for it, yeah, right? There are people who enjoy it. So if you're one of those people that likes maybe the older Chainsmokers sound, not when they're trying to throw in random trap drops into their sets and into their songs, you will, I think, enjoy this song much more. Yeah. So it's not for Samurai, but, you know, it's definitely worth checking out.
Can
but,
I quickly yeah, pay I agree, a compliment man. To the Chainsmokers?
Whoa, seriously? Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
I was watching the Tomorrowland live stream, and I gotta say, man, they do have good track selections and because they do drop a lot of really good music. The problem for me with the Chainsmokers is that when it comes time for them to do their live performances, Drew is singing. I don't know the other guy's name, but he is like on some keyboards. I'm not really too sure what he's triggering on his end. And then they have a drummer. The drummer is actually very good. And like yeah, I said, the track selections are quite good. But the set doesn't flow properly because they constantly break it up. How, okay, so I'm getting away from my compliment. My compliment is that these guys actually pick some pretty banging tunes to play out live. Let's move on. Rez.
I don't necessarily agree with that compliment, but all right, Rez.
Beyond the Senses, let's talk about this EP. First of all, a lot of hype around this EP. We're going to talk about it a little bit in the news and culture section. You know, I feel like I heard a lot of these songs before from Rez. So I...
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
And it's a cool release. Like, I really like the way that she released it. It's a very, very interesting concept. It's something that I've talked about multiple times on this podcast. Like I said, we're going to get into it in a little bit. There are some, you know, some songs that we've heard before, I feel like. And then there are other tracks which I was kind of surprised to hear, you know. So the song Your Soul Will Never Be Released, I was like, fuck, man, I guess I'm going to live here for the rest of my life because this song pretty much stole my soul. And then the one that she ended the EP with, Lonely, really liked that. I really liked the vocalist yeah. on this as well. The Riggs, I believe, is the name of the vocalist. And even the song Stress, the collaboration she did with Eddie, that was a good song too, man. You know, it definitely got me feeling pretty stressed out. And I got to say, the highlight, though, on this EP is the Under Oath collaboration. In my opinion, I thought it was actually very well done. I didn't think I would ever see Under Oath's name kind of pop up in EDM, but it's here, and mm-hmm. I'm glad that we have it.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, that was something. I know that song particularly too had a lot of hype to it, you know. But here's the thing, and again, I agree, I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't more new music on it.
Yeah,
right. And I know gosh, I'm forgetting the name now, but he knows who he is. I'll go back and find him out. We'll give him a shout out next week. But, you know, someone else also said the same thing on our Instagram when we were asking about it. And, you know, I've got to say, I've got to agree. This is just, I really enjoy the songs, particularly Lonely, just like you, Samir. But I kind of do wish there was a little bit more to it. Maybe she was just focusing on the way that it was released and the medium more so than the tracks, right? But I do wish there was more new music, but it was a very, very high quality EP. I mean, I actually think that she's doing a very good job about switching it up a little bit, right? Like, it's not all the yeah, same agreed. Type of stuff, which is difficult when you've cultivated such a unique sound. And now you've got a lot of other people not imitating it, but they're kind of using it as inspiration, right? There's a lot of yeah. mid-tempo type of stuff going on right now. So I feel like it's pretty hard if you establish it to continue being, you know, the figurehead for it without blending in with everything else. So,
right.
you know, she did a very good job with, you know, with Under Oath, as you were saying, of establishing herself and separating herself from former works, but still got that Rez flair on it. So good job to Rez for it. Just, you know, hopefully release some more music next time.
So, dude, right there yeah. with you. Would love to get some more Rez music. And I totally echo your sentiment about how she was able to change up the styles that she had on this EP. Let's move on real quick, though. We got Hot Since 82. Yes! With an 8-track LP. I was so stoked when this dropped. He also released a mix for it as well on his SoundCloud, which you can find in our show notes. It contains all of those tracks mixed together by the man himself. Just fire. tech house,
yep,
from Hot since 82, man. Every single track sounds so clean, so smooth, and this guy's mixing is impeccable. It is so damn good, which is why I'm very stoked to go see him in 2 weeks here in New York. He's doing a 4 p.m. to 10 p.m.
right,
set on Sunday, August 11th, which means that we might need to find a different day to record our podcast, because I don't think I can miss that. It's going to be a really good show.
We'll definitely have to.
Yeah. But, dude, what did you think of this, man? I mean, you and I are huge fans of Hot since 82.
I loved it, man. Really, really loved it. You know, and I actually like the way that he, speaking of how people releasing it in different ways, I do like the fact that he made this an LP and there's a continuous mix up for it.
Absolutely.
I really do like that, because I do feel like with a lot of tech house that there are some very high quality songs, but on their own, some people who are not used to tech house, they may not find it that interesting.
Right.
Right. To listen to necessarily on its own, but tech house is just amazing. It's so much fun to mix, first of all, but then it's also great to hear it mix and hear it live. So listeners, if you are not used to, you know, tech house, definitely check this out. This will give you a little bit more of a taste of what it's like to be mixed. And then you can go look up the individual songs that he put in there. But just another, it's just great. He seems like he's on a roll right now. Is that just me?
No.
Seems like he's doing really, yeah.
Yeah, I think this has been a very big year for Hot since 82. And I'm honestly, dude, I'm just buzzing off this LP. Like, I was like, do I want to go on a Sunday to go see Hot since 82? Obviously, the answer is yes, but sometimes it's a little bit hard to do that because it's kind of far out in Brooklyn, I believe. And then I have work the next day as well. But after listening to this mix, I was like, I can't miss it. I just can't miss it. It's going to be such a great party. It's going to be outdoors. And, you know, the man's spinning from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. So I can't miss it. Listeners, if you guys are going, hit us up. Like, we'll be there. We'd love to meet you. So just let us know.
I'll be there in spirit.
There we go.
I'll be there in spirit.
There we go. But I definitely can't wait to hear more from Hot since 82. Dude, I'm very excited to talk about this next song, and I'm really excited to get your thoughts on it as well, because we haven't really talked about it before this show, but Above and Beyond and Seven Lions with their collaboration, See the End, featuring Opposite the Other for the vocals. Dude, what did you think?
You know, man, it's like, I don't really know entirely how I feel yet about this song.
Oh my God.
You want to talk about it? Yeah, I liked it. Let's hear it. I know. You can help me. Well, everyone can help me, kind of talk through it, I guess. I have just very mixed feelings about it. There's part, maybe, but again, maybe it's expectation management. Like, when I saw Above and Beyond, Seven Lions are going to team up, I was like, this is going to be great. You know, I know they've always had a good relationship anyhow. I mean, we saw them, Samir, in Miami before Ultra Miami. Yeah. Gosh, what was it now? 2018.
Yeah.
I know.
Time
it's crazy.
Flies.
Time flies by. Yeah, it's real time, really does fly by. Holy crap. But anyhow, yeah, I wanted a bit more out of the song, to be perfectly honest.
Wow.
I didn't think it was, maybe I'm being picky, but I think maybe I overpsyched myself for it and it just didn't quite meet expectations for me. I thought it was good. It's another solid song, but it's not a song that's, going to be, making me want to listen to it all the time. I think it's one of those songs that's really nice to throw in a set, right?
Yeah.
If you're playing out a set, and I can definitely see them doing that. Like, it's a nice kind of breather and it's a little bit different, but I don't know, man. I just wasn't, blown away by this. I thought it's a very good release. Again, like, I don't want to sound like I'm being completely negative, because I did like it, and listeners who have been listening from the beginning, that I'm pretty picky with things. So don't take this the wrong way. I'm just being picky because we can afford to be picky, really. Like, it's still a great song.
Our podcast.
I'm not gonna,
we can do whatever we want.
It's our podcast. We say what we want. We have no sponsors. We can say what we want. Above and Beyond, Seven Lines. I thought it was good. I thought it was good. And I'll just leave it at that. I thought it was good, but nothing that is, taking my breath away or anything like that. How about you, man?
I loved it. I love this song.
Did you?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this a lot. And I'll be honest with you guys, I haven't been very excited about Above and Beyond's most recent releases, like, let's say, like 2019 and 2018. However, See the End with Seven Lines, like, it threw me back. It threw me back to like 2013 through 2015 Above and Beyond, when I was super into them and their group therapy radio sessions. This is a fantastic song. I love the vocals. I love how uplifting it feels. And I just love the whole vibe.
You like it being uplifting?
Oh, boy.
You like it being
uplifting?
What
have I said? What did I say?
What have you done? There are words in this, Samir. There are too many words.
I know, but I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. Maybe when I was listening to it, I was in a really good mood, and maybe now I'm in a shitty mood. I don't know, but no, I'm in a great mood right now.
It's because I've got the anti-plur. It's because I got the anti-plur for this week, so you're not angry the whole week.
That's true. That's a very good point. But above and beyond Seven Lines, See the End, this is a must listen. I want to hear your thoughts, guys. Like, we want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear how you feel about it as well. But this is such a great song, and I'm really excited to hear this live when I see Seven Lines at Izu. Above and Beyond's going to be at Izu as well. I'm not too sure if I'm going to stick around for their set. Again, I'm not a big fan of seeing them live, but I can't wait for Seven Lines to play this track out.
No, you know, man, I think this is the first time that we've completely disagreed.
Yeah.
Not completely disagreed. I thought it was good. I'm just not as amped up about it as you are.
You know, listeners, we want to hear your thoughts as well, so just let us know how you feel about it. But, dude, let's cap off the new music section with one more song. I was surprised by this. W&W and 3R Legend. Alec, do you know who 3R Legend is?
No, I've no. I thought it was, you know, I Am Legend, but then I saw the 3 and R, so.
Yeah, no, yeah, okay, no. So, 3R Legend.
That was a horrible joke, I apologize. That sucked.
3R Legend is Steve Aoki, Dimitri Vegas.
What?
And Like Mike.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yep.
No.
WW oh, and no. 3R Legend, Steve Aoki, Dimitri Vegas.
Soon
and
there's going to be 4R Legend with Paris Hilton thrown in there.
And let's make a 5R Legend with Matin, who is, I believe, Dimitri's wife. I think that's Dimitri's wife. But, guys, I got to say, the song Khaleesi, it's a dope big room song. And I, listeners, you should know, I think Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike are probably my least favorite artists throughout the whole scene. Throughout the whole scene of electronic music. More so than the Chainsmokers. I genuinely don't enjoy Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike, especially their sets live. Their old big room stuff, like Let's Talk About Mammoth, dope song, yeah. Right? Khaleesi, though, this was surprisingly a very good song. I really like this one a lot. Alec, what'd you think?
Yeah, I liked it. I appreciated it for, I think, as you're saying, it's almost like it's going back, I think, to what made Big Room really popular and good, right? Like what made it really good. So this song is definitely, it reminds me a lot of that, right? Like as you were saying, in terms of, I don't know, there's just something that felt different about it. It did feel better than, you know, I think some of the more recent releases and the recent Big Room. So it was very solid. You know, I don't really have too many thoughts. It's just Big Room is not really for me. You know, I tend to get a little bit bored with it sometimes. Just particularly because I feel like the drops do sound quite similar. But this song had a lot of depth to it, which I liked.
Yeah.
Right? I do feel like some of the Big Room songs today don't have much depth to them and many different layers, but I actually really appreciated that they put... It was definitely a more thoughtful, you know, it was more of a song that had... It was very thoughtful about the layers that they were putting into it. So there were more details into it, if that makes any sense.
No, dude,
you know,
totally,
you could listen
sense.
To all the different layers of it. Yeah, so I enjoyed it, but... You know, it's again, it's, you know, listeners, you can just go out and tell us what you think. See if you disagree with us. I'll be interested to see what some Big Room fans think of it.
All right. Sweet. Well, guys, let's move into it. News and culture. Alec, are you ready?
No.
Well, you better be, baby. We got Ultra Music Festival. Listeners, I feel like we don't even have to talk about this because if you are into electronic music, you probably have already heard this. But Ultra Music Festival 2020 will be taking place at Bayfront Park back in downtown Miami. The place that they got kicked out of in 2019. They're back. And the downtown Miami residents, they're not totally stoked on it.
Ultra taking to Twitter, announcing they are pulling the plug on their Virginia Key venue and moving the Miami-born Global Music Festival back to Bayfront Park.
Motion passes 3-2 as amended.
The announcement came moments after City of Miami commissioners approved an agreement to allow the 3-day electronic dance music event to return to the downtown Miami Park for a weekend in March. Leading up to the vote, we watched as some residents opposed.
The only green space we have in downtown.
Read my chest. No more Ultra.
While others pointed out the advantages of bringing back the event that generates $2 million for the city and millions more for businesses.
Business in rooms, restaurants, and bars.
A Miami brand and a cultural icon.
50,000 people from all over the world coming.
However,
to
they are back with some conditions. So for 2020, and I'm going to assume that this is going to be happening onwards as well, as long as the festival takes place in downtown Miami, but the maximum decibel level will be lowered to 102 decibels, and I believe the original one was 112. So the overall loudness of the festival will be decreasing, which I don't know how I feel about that, Alec, because, you know, you and I, when
that's
we were
not gonna
at,
work.
Yeah, when we were at the main stage, dude, like, listeners, you should know that when Alec and I go to shows or festivals, we usually hang out in the back, a little bit more breathing room, a little bit more room to dance. But when we were in the back for, like, let's say Hardwell or DJ Snake at Ultra in 2018, it wasn't that loud.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think that's going to work very well, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. And so that's not the only change that's going to be happening. They're also going to be eliminating the Biscayne stage, which is like the smallest stage at Ultra. So listeners, in case you guys don't know, the way that the festival is set up, it takes place in Bayfront Park, but it also spills out half into Biscayne Boulevard, which runs right next to downtown, which runs right next to Bayfront Park. So they close down part of that street, obviously for more space in the festival. So the stage Biscayne, or the Oasis stage, will be eliminated because now they're not allowed to do that. So there's less space at the festival, number one. They're eliminating the smallest stage. And also, they might be eliminating another one of the stages unless they can figure out where to place it. The Spider, the Arcadia Spider Resistance stage. They might have to remove that one because... which is kind of a bummer because that's a dope stage.
Yeah, I love that stage.
Yeah, and the problem here is they have to remove it because there's a children's park right next to that stage in Bayfront Park. So now, in order to protect the park, they have to basically like really fence off that area, and no stage can get too close to that park, which is exactly where the big Resistant Spider stage is. So we're losing the small stage, and we're also losing the Spider or the Resistance stage, which is kind of a bummer, dude. You know, so I don't know how I feel about these changes. I'm not stoked on like losing stages because we're losing acts, and especially for the Biscayne stage, that's the stage where there's a lot of smaller local openers, up and coming talent. And it's just a shame that Ultra is going to have to be eliminating that stage. You know, that's just less support for the up and coming artists.
Yeah, man. I agree with you on all fronts there. And there was also some, I feel like, controversy over how this was negotiated and done. You know, I mean, I've even heard, I don't know if you've heard about this, but I've been reading a Miami Herald article that's even suggesting that, you know, you've had anti-Ultra people suggest that multiple commissioners have received campaign contributions.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Ultra.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't want to engage in just outright hearsay or speculation on it, but you know, that's not a very good look, I think. And to be honest, if I was negotiating this for Ultra, I wouldn't want to go back right now to Bayfront Park. With all these different changes that are going in, I just don't think it's going to be the same experience. And plus, it just seems really limited when I feel as if Ultra could have had a chance to really expand their production.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
Now they're limiting it and making it where... Because, I mean, Bayfront Park, man, like, as much as it's iconic, just Ultra honestly has outgrown that venue, that area. It's just too big. And when we were there, that's the one thing that we noticed. It was very cramped, right? Like,
absolutely.
EDC was very busy, but it didn't feel cramped. Whereas Ultra did, and there was sound bleeding issues on the different stages, you know, and it's a shame because it's such an iconic thing. But I just, to be honest, I really do think that Ultra is just too big.
Bro, I'm 150% with you on that. I don't think this was a really good move for them to come back to downtown Miami. I know a lot of people are excited about their return back to downtown Miami. Listeners, I personally feel like, and Alec I know feels this way, Ultra is just too big now for that park. And now we're eliminating stages and we're eliminating space within the park. And that is just going to lead to more cramping. Because I'll tell you what, man, I don't think they're going to reduce the tickets that are available for sale in correlation with how much space they're losing. You know what I mean? Like, if they're losing 20% of the space, and that's just a ballpark, I'm pretty sure it's not 20%, but if they're losing 20% of the space that they have available to them to put on Ultra Music Festival, I don't think that they're going to eliminate 20% of the tickets that are available.
I agree with you, man. That's an excellent, excellent point there. You know, and that just echoes again. It's just like, I'm not quite sure. I feel like they're just really rushing this and they're just trying to find a place right now.
Yeah.
And I understand the attachment to that venue, totally. But just let it go. I mean, and this is already just, you know, this is just asking for a PR crisis.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even though they're voted back in, there are lots of people who do not want it back there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there are people who didn't want it in Miami at all, let alone at Bayfront Park. There are people who didn't want it at Virginia Beach. And it just seems like, you know, to be honest, I think it's just a shame because I don't see this being a sustainable partnership going forward between Miami, you know, and Ultra. And I just would hate to see things go wrong and then, you know, Ultra having to really leave just because of just, you know, bad things that have happened or just on a really sour note where it's like, I just want to preserve, you know, the really nice sentiment that's still, you know, it's definitely been etched at and, you know, it's not quite the same as what it used to be, but there's still kind of a warm feeling towards Ultra, at least in Miami. But, you know, I feel like something like this, this move is going to endanger it.
Yeah. Nope. Alec, totally agreed with you. But, you know, man, we're just going to have to see. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens with Ultra Music Festival. I really am hoping for the best. Like, I really hope that they're able to work out the new spacing, work out a better relationship with the city of Miami. And, you know, I do agree with you. I don't think this is going to be a sustainable partnership for the longevity of Ultra and how long it's going to be down there in Miami, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm just kind of happy that we're getting some sort of closure that we can kind of end this saga, because listeners, if you guys have been with us for a long time, you know we have been talking about the struggles and the issues that Ultra has been facing in trying to secure a venue. But hopefully now we can put a nail in the coffin on the discussion of where it's going to take place and open the discussion of what is Ultra going to be like going forward. So, dude, Rez, wow.
Yeah, agreed. Very much a wow type of thing, man. But this was kind of foreshadowed when, do you remember that Halloween mix that she released?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was definitely foreshadowing this type of stuff. And again, you know, this has kind of been a theme that we've talked about unknowingly in the last, I'd say, 10 episodes or so. But it's just the confluence of technology on how DJ sets are being performed moving forward, right? And also just released, how new music is released. So Rez is really coming in at a very good time with this virtual, you know, listening party that she did for the new EP.
Yeah, dude, totally, totally agreed. Listeners, in case you guys haven't heard, we just talked about Rez's new EP, Beyond the Senses, but she truly went beyond the senses. She released this EP in a listening party, like Alec had said, in virtual reality.
What up, everyone? Welcome to this virtual world. We are leaving planet Earth today, clearly, as you look around your surroundings, and this is absolutely preposterous.
How sick is that? And I feel like if there's any artist that should be doing these kinds of things, it should be Rez. She, I feel like, through her social media and just who she is and the music that she puts out and the graphics that she uses, like, she has created a world for the kind of music that she puts out. And it's very apparent in all the releases that she does, how she interacts on social media, online. This, I think, was perfect for her to do.
I'm with you there, man. It really was absolutely perfect. You know, as I said before, not only does she foreshadow it a little bit with it, but it just makes sense with just with the times. And
yeah,
it's again moving to that where electronic music is really becoming an experience, right? Or it's a spectacle now, but I think it's moving even more towards being an experience that does, you know, challenge all the different senses that you have. So virtual reality is something I'm very excited about with it. I don't know how that's going to be, you know, whether she's going to try shift this at some point when the tech is more available to like a live type of thing, right? Yeah. I don't know how something like that would work, but it definitely just, you know, she pulled this off really well, man. Like, this was an awesome, awesome thing to do. Listeners, as Samir said, you can definitely go check this out. We'll have this in the show notes, a link to it. Definitely go check it out. This was really bloody cool.
No doubt.
Well, speaking about cool things, Seismic Dance Event. My man, you found this one. How'd you come across this? Because I don't know whether I'm dumb and I haven't been in the loop on things, but I've not heard of this.
Dude, you know me. I'm a big fan of Marshmello. Just kidding. I'm a big fan of Eric Prydz. So I browse r/Eric Prydz, the forum dedicated to Eric Prydz on Reddit, like pretty much on a daily basis. And somebody had posted that my man, Series D, who is Eric Prydz's techno alias, will be performing at Seismic Dance Event. And he included the poster of the event. And I was like, all right, Series D is going to be there. I'm pretty much sold on that. I love techno. Test Pilot's going to be there. That's Deadmau5's techno alias, Test Pilot. He's going to be there. Okay, now I'm double sold on this. It's in Austin, Texas, a place that I've been wanting to visit. It's in a warehouse in Austin. And now let's get into the rest of the lineup, right? We got Alan Fitzpatrick. We got Chris Lake. Yo, Chris Lake, all right? Dom Dalla. And I say Chris Lake as I'm literally wearing the EDC Chris Lake t-shirt right now as I'm recording this episode. Yeah, I love this shirt, dude. I wear it pretty often. Chris Lake, Dom Dalla, EDX, who I love. I love EDX. I was texting you about EDX just this past weekend, Ali. Mm-hmm. I.O., who I am so, so stoked on, been listening to a lot of his mixes recently. Gorgon City, Idris Elba is going to be there. We got Moonwalk, MK. He's going to be there. Noren Pure. I mean, I don't know when to stop. There's just so many great names on this lineup. And the fact that it's taking place in Austin, Texas, in a warehouse, like, this is true techno and house music pounding in the state that goes huge. I mean, Alec, I'm trying to go to this. I'm probably going to go. What do you think, man? What are your thoughts on this lineup?
It's an amazing, amazing lineup. I'd be very much down to go. Yeah, I would be, honestly. I mean, I feel like we can maybe plan this out. We'll definitely, you know, off air, we'll definitely take a look into it, because this is just absolutely stacked.
Hell yeah.
This is, when you put this in the show notes and I saw it, I was like, whoa, this is going to be something special.
Yeah. It's taking place in a warehouse that used to be for newspaper printing, which is now defunct, but it's been converted, and this is the second time actually Seismic Dance Event is going to be taking place. This is the second iteration of this event.
Oh, that's why I haven't heard of it. Okay.
Yeah. It hasn't been around for a very long time, but I mean, dude, the second iteration of this event, and they're pulling in a crazy lineup. Like, I honestly, listeners, I was going to go to Moonrise in 2 weeks, and when this poster came out, I was like, all right, I'm saving my money. Moonrise has a good lineup, but this is where I want to spend my money, and this is where I want to go. This is a great lineup, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, definitely. It's more, I think, focused. Like, Moonrise has a really great lineup, but it's not as focused on you know, techno and tech house as this is.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. No doubt. So, yeah, man, let's definitely connect offline, and listeners, we'll keep you guys updated in terms of our plans as well. But if this lineup interests you, guys, definitely check it out. This is going to be a great event. I can already feel it in my bones. But, dude, Newmark, right? So, listeners, we're getting into a little bit more about the DJ technology here. Newmark is a DJ controller brand. You know, they put out mixers. They put out controllers for folks to, you know, DJ and mix. So they actually just released a new product. Alec, tell us about this one, man. This is something you threw into our show notes.
Yeah, this will be a quick one, but I thought it would be really interesting to talk a bit about this because of the price that it's at, right? Like, if anyone who's, you know, any bedroom producers to professional DJs, you know that, you know, this stuff does not come cheap. And to get a good quality, you know, professional grade a controller or what have you, mixer, what have you, you really need to cough up the big bucks for it. But this isn't too bad. I mean, the prices start, this is a British site I was reading it from called Decoded Magazine. Shout out to them for this little review that they gave, but they're saying it starts around £420. So that's not horrible. I mean, Samir, I guess doing a quick conversion, that's around the same price that you get like the DDJ SR from, I believe.
It's about $520.
Yeah, so it's around that price range for those type of controllers. But, you know, I feel like Newmark haven't been doing many moves in this. But we'll have a link to the review, but there's an awesome, awesome picture of it. I mean, it just looks sweet. You know, it doesn't look too clunky, but they've really got, it looks, I mean, as the name entails, the scratch, it's old fashioned. You've got the big, you know, ability to scratch there. What else have they got on it? It's got a crossfader, the performance pads, loop encoder, toggle paddles, which, you know, will, for people who don't, it's basically how to trigger effects from your DJ software. And better yet, it comes with Serato. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it comes with it. Exactly. So, I mean, that is just an awesome package. For, you know, with all that together, the hardware plus the software, it's pretty good. You know, I know I sound like a salesperson for it now, but genuinely, I think it's just a good deal.
Yeah.
You know, Newmark is definitely coming out with this. I mean, what do you think, man? I mean, have you really heard about these companies, you know, either whether it's Newmark or Pioneer? I just feel like there hasn't been too much movement in terms of coming out with new hardware that has really changed the game.
So I have a couple of thoughts on that, Alec. And I'm going to go through them quickly because I know we don't want to spend a terrible amount of time here on this topic. But my first thought is, you know, you and I already have controllers. We are not doing, like, I would say regular research as to like the latest and greatest from Newmark or like the latest and greatest from Serato or Traktor for that matter. Like, so I feel like maybe we're just a little bit more shielded from the new technology that comes out from these companies. I also feel like for me personally in 2012 is I'm sorry, actually, 2011. 2011 was when I first, when I got my first DJ controller. And I feel like between 2011 and I believe for you was what, 2014?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like between 2011 to 2014, maybe 2015, I feel like there were a lot of people who were trying to get into DJing. And I feel like maybe now it's, maybe it's curved off a little bit. I feel like there's not as many, not aspiring, but, you know, people who just want to try and dabble into DJing. And the market back at that time, 2011 to 2015, it really fed into those entry-level DJs. You know, it fed into the $100 controllers, the $200 controllers, where there wasn't a massive price gate. People could get into it pretty easily and use a free software like Virtual DJ. So, yeah, right. So I think that companies are putting out these kinds of pieces of technology and it's hitting the market. I feel like maybe we're just a little bit more shielded from it, and also the excitement for wanting to pick up DJing isn't as high as it used to be maybe a couple of years ago.
You know what, man? You hit the nail on the head with that. I definitely stand corrected on that. They probably are. I think this would be interesting, I think, for us to look a little bit more into week over week, right? To look into it, because, you know, and we'll definitely ask listeners, but I think it's important just, you know, for any of the DJs that are listening, and even if not, if you're thinking about DJing, you know, it'd definitely be good, I think, to shed some more light on it. But
absolutely,
you know, great points there, man. I agree with you. You know, but let's definitely take a look into it. I think this could be a topic we could talk about in the next few weeks.
No doubt. Dude, let's talk about Hard Summer real quick. Huge announcement from Hard Summer, and I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on this one. I know I have some thoughts on it on myself, but Hard Summer just announced that DJ Snake and Mala are their surprise guests this year. Back to back.
Back to back. Yeah.
Back to back. Yeah. DJ Snake, back to back Mala. So I don't know, man. I'm having a hard time trying to think about what their set is going to be like. That's the thing. DJ Snake and Mala have very different styles. And I feel like a lot of DJ Snake's more housier, four to the floor music was in collaboration with either someone like Chami or Mala or Mercer. But I don't know, man. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I here's an interesting thought too. I mean, have you thought about when Mala first started, you know, it really wasn't supposed to be a thing per se, I believe from everything that I've read. But, you know, remember I went to that warehouse, right, Pier 94, when it was French was in New York. You know, so I think then from things that I had read up on, it was someone else being Mala, right, under the ski mask, and that now it's a friend of Mercer's, Charmy's, and DJ Snake's, right? But there's a lot of speculation around, and we could dig into it. And listeners, if you have any insight, please, you know, shed some light on this, because I didn't even think about this until now. You know, who was Mala during that show? Was it, you know, one of the, you know, Charmy, Mercer, or DJ Snake? Or was it, you know, somebody else from the get-go? I mean, a lot of people think it's Mercer, right? Who took it on for a while, because there was a big stretch of time where he wasn't releasing any music, and that was at the exact same time that Mala became more of a thing. But now they handed off, I forget the name of the DJ, man, we'll have to put it in the show notes, but it's somebody else that's a French DJ, a Parisian DJ that they're
Sebastian Bennett.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So there you go, listeners, if you know the identity now, it's pretty much been confirmed that it's him. Yeah, so I'm interested to see if DJ Snake was involved maybe initially. I think this could be a really interesting back-to-back, you know, and I feel like I think people are going to be surprised by this. I think this is actually going to be a really kind of cool back-to-back, because I do feel like DJ Snake will be able to turn on, you know, or at least put on his house hat, right, and be able to play with Mala. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to really see with it, man. Yeah. But I just feel like maybe, kind of like how people don't always associate David Guetta with house music, right? In terms of more traditional house, but he's got Jack Back now. And a lot of people did not, you know, they don't really know that it's the same person. And then you hear a lot of people criticizing David Guetta for that. But, you know, I feel like this could be DJ Snake, almost his like alter ego he's never really explored. Maybe he's always been a fan of this type of stuff. I mean, we'll see when he plays. I mean, yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, I don't know if you agree with that.
Really interesting thoughts. I don't know. I'm not totally subscribed to DJ Snake dropping more house music in this set. I'm just not subscribed to it. I don't know why. It's just, I can't see it, man. Because DJ Snake, let me start this over. Mala is a man of no words. All right? DJ Snake is a man of many words. You know what I mean? Like, both of them, I feel like if out of the whole part of my French crew, they are the biggest complete opposites, I feel like. And to have them come together to do a back-to-back, it's just kind of throwing me off. I really don't think that DJ Snake is going to subscribe to Mala's style or Mala's going to subscribe to DJ Snake's style. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's a good set. I'm sure it'll be a good set. They're both
I think you're wrong, man. I'm going to come out and say I think he is definitely going to...
Oh, fuck, dude.
Because also, that pink tent, which is where it's at, the closing it out, that is a house stage.
Oh, I did not realize that. Okay.
Yes, it is tradition. Okay. I mean, I'm looking at it, and it's usually strictly, I mean, as I quote from looking at, you know, uredm.com on this, it's strictly for house music. Traditionally.
Oh, dude. So, okay, listeners, maybe I stand corrected here.
Here's the thing. I don't think Marlo would do a back-to-back with somebody that he knows wouldn't be able to pull this off.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I hope it's a good set. I'm sure it'll be a good set. I'm actually kind of excited.
Samir's not convinced yet.
No, yeah, I'm not entirely convinced, but hopefully this is a good set, and I'm actually very excited to see the videos that come out of this. Hard Summer is literally this weekend. So August 3rd, it's happening, and I think we're going to see a lot of videos from it. I hope somebody records the whole set, because I would like to take a listen to it.
Yes.
And then maybe revisit my thoughts on it, and you know, we could pick that up there. But interesting totally. Stuff, really, really interesting closing act there. And then, dude, to cap off the news and culture section, this is a really cool find on your part. Why don't you go ahead, man, tell us about it.
So as I mentioned when I was overviewing all of the topics, there is a new documentary on EDM. Now, if anyone has really tried to look into it, there's not too many documentaries, right? I mean, what was that most recent one, Samir, with Martin Garrix was featured in it, Carl Cox.
I believe it's What We Started.
What We Started, right. So that, to my knowledge, that's the most recent kind of EDM one. And generally, that when there are EDM documentaries or there's, you know, shows focused on it, it's on more of a high level, a general level, looking at the electronic music industry. This one, however, actually is looking at a much more specific piece of it and is looking at a time period that a lot of people who are in the know, who are in the industry, knows is particularly important to the spread of EDM. We are talking about the 1980s in Britain. This is big, and specifically Acid House. Now, the reason why this was a particularly big moment in time is, I'm not going to, you know, ruin too much of the documentary so that you guys can go and look into it, but essentially there was a lot of issues with Thatcher policies, right? Margaret Thatcher, I'm sure you guys have heard of it. If not, look her up. Prime Minister of the UK back then. There was a lot of issues going on with that, and electronic music, and specifically Acid House, blew up as a way for these for the youth to go out and, you know, release all this energy and this angst, right? But in a way that was more productive and bringing people together, because Britain felt very divided at that time. There was a new generation of people coming up that felt like their values weren't being represented properly, and they felt like, you know, they didn't like the world that they were living in. So they came together and just really explored a totally polar opposite style of music, right? I mean, this is stuff that is completely different from what the mainstream is back then. But it blew up because people really connected over this, not just with the music, but with each other. So there was a real cultural impact of, you know, Acid House really impacted, you know, not just the rave scene and rave culture, but just, as this documentary says, they're going to go into the British culture in general, right? Up, you know, it's pretty cool. So the documentary is called Everybody in the Place, an Incomplete History of Britain, 1984 to 1992. But that just shows how, you know, rave and acid house history is not in the title, but it's a major component of the documentary. It's just showing how people are finally really looking at electronic music and seeing it as a music form, but also realizing that, yes, it does have an effect on society, and it does bring people together. So it's really nice to see that this is finally getting represented in some more mainstream media. It's done by Jeremy Deller, who is a little bit more well-known in the UK in terms of making documentaries. But this is a real deal documentary. This is, you know, going to be on BBC4. So this is not like, you know,
oh, wow,
a YouTube documentary. Yeah, it's on BBC4, which is a national channel, right? So this is a big deal, actually. This isn't like some little thing where they're doing it. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this. So I'm really interested to see you know, people's take on it, right, listeners? So you can tweet at us or, you know, comment. I'm sure we'll be making a post about it when it comes out next Friday, I believe it comes out, August 2nd. That's when it will be out, or rather, is that this week? Gosh, I'm all screwed up. It's soon. August 2nd. Yeah, soon.
This Friday.
There we go. I'm all screwed up. This Friday it happens. But it will be, I'm just really interested, Samir. I can't wait for it to come out because there's not too much information on it, but it seems like Acid House is going to be a big focus of this. Yeah, I mean, what do you think, man? I hope I kind of described it pretty well.
Thank you, first of all, for all that history. I did not know that about, you know, Acid House and just why it's so prevalent, especially back then in the UK. So that's great stuff here, man. Thank you. And I'm actually very excited too, because, you know, it's important, if we're a part of this culture, it's important for us to really understand the roots and the history of where it all started and why we are here today and a part of this scene. And I'm really excited for documentaries like this, like What We Started, even Under the Electric Sky, which is more focused on EDC Vegas, but still very cool to learn more about Insomniac and Pasquale Rotella and his, you know, motivations. I just think that this is going to be a great learning tool for folks who maybe just don't know enough about electronic music and the history behind it. And the fact that it's on BBC4, right. I had no idea. That is huge, dude. That is really, really neat.
It is. It's a big deal, man. And just kind of adding on to that sentiment too, you know, what's really cool about this is that it's hard to find out real history of the electronic music industry, right?
Yeah.
And kind of the socio-political effects that it may have. Because it really hasn't, there's not too many resources about that, right? Like if you go in and you could find it, but it's kind of scarce. Like you really have to look. And there's especially not many videos or anything of that, you know, the video media format right. around it. So it's already not being spread. So I don't know enough as I probably should about all this type of things, which is why I'm particularly excited about it, because I'm hoping that it will be more of a deep dive than kind of like the general knowledge that I have just from talking to, you know, Britain-based DJs and watching a couple of one other documentary. It's with Tommy Sunshine on Netflix. He goes a little bit into it, but that's more revolving around dubstep. I'm just interested to see what history can show us about electronic music and its, you know, effect on society as a whole, because it seems like there were some pretty big effects. At least that's what this documentary is claiming, that it's more than what it's been given credit for.
Very well said. Yeah, I'm really excited, and listeners, we will definitely be talking about this documentary after Alec and I watch it. I'm hoping to watch it literally this coming weekend. I don't have any plans this weekend, so I'm pretty excited, dude. You know, you gave us a great history lesson. You gave us a lot of positivity. I'm very excited. And, you know, I think, Alec, you might be right. Like, I feel like I'm in a very chipper mood today, and I think it's because I don't have the anti-plur moment this week, dude. Listeners, we promised you last week that Alec was going to take the next anti-plur moment, a section that really, like, when we started this podcast, it really used to be his. He led the way. He has that British angry voice. So, Alec, let's hear it, dude. What is pissing you off today?
Okay, this is something that it pisses me off, but I think it's going to piss off other people more. I'll explain.
Let's hear it.
From people that I've talked to and from people that I've heard, there are a lot of times where DJs will be going to a nightclub and the tech that they have there, CDJs specifically, are not very well maintained. And just a lot of the tech and the sound system and things, there's just a whole host of issues. Now, I know there's always issues when it comes to running any event, but I've heard some absolute horror stories where there's like DJ I remember coming across. I'll have to go back and find it. But he was saying that basically only one of the CDJs worked. So he's just stuck to that channel the whole time. And he was like, till they fixed it, they brought out another one that he literally had to put on a Spotify playlist.
Oh,
and he was in the middle of the nightclub.
Bummer. Yeah.
I know. Well, I mean, hopefully people didn't notice. He said people didn't notice, but
I don't know.
I'm sure they probably didn't. I don't know. I mean,
Alec is like in the back of the crowd, like, nope, didn't like that. That wasn't a good transition. Nope,
exactly. And you know, man, the thing that really irks me about this is that I think it's something that people have not really considered when they look at what these tech issues and the poorly kept, you know, CDJs and things, what that really actually says. What it really says is that I think it's a little bit of a disrespectful thing towards DJs. I don't think it's consciously done, but I think it might be a remnant of a time where DJs weren't really the focal point of a nightclub scene.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Yeah, so if you look back, right, I mean, people like Diplo talk about this. where they're looking at the transition from a DJ just being a disc jockey, you know, to becoming a disc jockey and producer, to now just being the one-man show, right? Where they've got people working on it, but it's a true show. It's a true experience. So I think maybe back in the day, the clubs didn't really have to worry too much about it, because, you know, or if they did take care of it, essentially, it's not, you know, it would be on them. People would be like, oh, it's, you know, not just the DJ, it's the club. Whereas I feel like now when people hear something go wrong, they're going to blame the DJ. Does that make any sense?
No, totally, dude. That makes perfect sense.
Right. Whereas now the, you know, the club, like no one goes to a set, right? And if you hear something screw up, right, you can hear, you know, audibly hear it, or something with the smoke machines things goes off, people automatically knee jerk and have a reaction now and say, oh, it's the DJ's fault, right? And I think that's unfair, because the DJ has no say in that. It's just, that's just what happened. Like, you know, that guy with the, as I said, the story with the 1C DJ.
Yeah.
You know, he can't control that. But if it sounds like a Spotify playlist, people are going to think that he's just a crappy DJ, right?
Yeah.
And no one's going to have any idea. I mean, I'm sure there are times where people have literally stopped, but there are people who don't want to stop the show, right? They want to just try continue on and be a good DJ and deal whatever comes. So I feel like it's really on the club one to really make sure before each, you know, each night, let's be realistic, that it's, you know, things that are kept fine, you know, sound system's working. I know they do all these checks, but it just seems like there's too many times and occasions where it's not taken care of. Now, the second part of this could also be, perhaps it's the other DJs, maybe DJs before, they're spilling drinks on it, whatever, right? But I just feel like, man, that there just needs to be, at least at nightclubs, because I think festivals are a little bit different, they should treat that DJ booth almost like it is at a festival, right?
Right?
Where it's like it needs to be on top of it. And I don't think that burden should be on the DJs as much as it should be the clubs, right? Now, I know there could be people from all sides kind of saying, oh, well, this and this. I understand. There's a lot of different reasons, and it might not always be the nightclub's fault. But at the end of the day, the nightclub is putting on the show. I don't think it's fair for DJs to take all the, all the shit from people when it may not even be necessarily their fault. It's just the equipment and everything wasn't set up properly or wasn't kept up properly, right? Like, if you have DJs spilling drinks on the CDJs and whatever can, you know, what they have, that's pretty much the standard now, it seems like, in nightclubs. You know, if they're spilling shit on it, replace it. You know, I know it's expensive. It's not that expensive relative to the cost of running a nightclub.
Right.
Right? I mean, is that such a ridiculous ask, is for the club to take care of issues like that, where, you know, the next night, say it's a Thursday night, they got someone in, they screw up the CDJs. So Friday night, the guy doesn't have to come in, and nobody doesn't have to come in and have fucked up CDJs.
No doubt.
And that's what irks me, because it's just, I feel like it's just unfair. And I feel like, again, it kind of goes back to, it's like, you've got to have accountability for it. And I think with the emphasis now being the show is totally on the DJ now, it's like a one-man show, you've got, as a club and as a venue owner slash person running it, you've got to make sure these things, you know, are set in place. I mean, that's essentially kind of my anti-player moment. It's just like, just be more mindful of it and understand that, you know, yes, it's your club that's putting on a show, but these are also DJs and producers' reputations too. And you want to be able to contribute to it and make an overall better show, because you know what? That will benefit both of you. No one wants to go to a nightclub where it doesn't sound good, or the DJs don't do well, right? And the DJs don't want to go to a place where they know that the equipment's crappy and, you know, they're liable for all this stuff and, you know, they don't know what can go on. If I'm wrong about any of this is not how it works, because obviously I'm not an industry insider, tell me, please, tweet at us, whatever. I want to be corrected on this. So I'll be interested, Samir. We should go out and, you know, touch base with some of the artists on this, because I feel like, just from the tweets I've seen from a bunch of DJs in time, this seems like it's an issue.
Well, I mean, dude, we have a lot of DJs who seem to listen to our podcast as well. So, I mean, guys, let us know. Like, we want to put out a beacon to you. Like, do you feel that when you're getting up there to rock the decks that the equipment is kind of shit or it's not working properly? Like, seriously, we want to know. Tweet us and we'll talk about it next week on the show as well at PodBTB. Let us know your experiences about, like, just nights that did not go as planned because of faulty equipment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the type of stories we want to hear. And also, you know, people who work at nightclubs or with event promotion companies too. Like, you know, whoever would know about some of this stuff and how it works, I'd be really interested in hearing it, because it's a small thing that can have a big impact. And that's what irks me. I just don't want, you know, if I'm going, and also just from Kitsububa's perspective, if I'm paying for this, you know, I understand technical issues happen, right? But if it's stuff that's preventable, I don't want my dollars going towards something where it was very preventable and it's just negligence. So that's just me from the consumer perspective too. And that's my anti-plur.
Alec is a perfectionist, ladies and gentlemen. Dude, thank you for taking anti-plur this week. We'll see who gets it next week. We're going to surprise our listeners. Maybe Alec will be heated about a topic. Yeah.
Maybe my blood pressure
will
rise up.
You know what's
again,
funny? Like, I still have something in my mind that's pissing me off right now about the scene. Like, I still have, like, an anti-plur moment in me.
I could tell. I could just tell you.
Yeah, I'm holding it in right now, but maybe I'll talk about it next week on the show, because it's it really pissed me off when I saw this, but we don't have to talk about it right now. But what we will talk about is the What Are We Listening To section this week. And you guys are probably wondering, okay, well, why haven't you guys talked about the new DJ Snake album or Skrillex's new EP? Guess what? We're here. Let's talk about it. DJ Snake, Carte Blanche. Am I saying that right, dude? Is that how you say it? Blanche?
Go ahead. Sure.
I'm just going to say it the very American way. Carte Blanche.
No, God, no. Go back, mate.
DJ Snake, Carte Blanche. That. And then we got Skrillex's Show Tracks EP. All right, two releases from powerhouses, guys. Massive names in the industry. You know, we talked about DJ Snake's album before a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, where we had talked about a leaked track list, and looks like that track list was correct. We did get the collaborations that we were expecting. I mean, we're talking about the collaboration with Majid Jordan, Zoo. We're talking about Chami, Mala, Mercer, and DJ Snake all coming together. Bryson Tiller's collaboration. I mean, first of all, it's a 17-track album. All right. And there are a lot of very interesting collaborations and a lot of very interesting noises and different sounds in this album as well. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean, let's just kind of kick it off. I mean, Alec, what did you think about Carte Blanche from DJ Snake?
Sorry. Okay. I actually really enjoyed this album. I thought it was good from him. I thought it was nice. It's nice to see a true album. Right, I feel like that's a little bit rarer nowadays, so it's nice that he released like a true album with a lot of songs on it. So thank you, DJ Snake, for that. Even though some of them, you know, Magenta Rhythm in there, Taki Taki, those things, Enzo, the more recent release, some of those are, you know, we've heard before, but there's a lot of stuff in it that we haven't seen. For instance, dude, what did you think? I for me, what stood out was I really enjoyed actually Quiet Storm with Zomboy.
Yes.
I thought that was a good song. And yeah, I mean, let's talk about that one quickly, right? I feel like I haven't heard too much from Zomboy recently, but this was a really nice collab where I think their styles came together very well.
Totally agreed with you, dude. I mean, I was like, okay, I don't know really what to expect from here. Like, I know DJ Snake goes hard, but I don't know if he goes Zomboy hard. This is actually like the perfect collaboration between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's exactly like you said. It is apparent that both of their influences are in this track 50-50, and actually, I thought this was a highlight off this album.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Starting off strong then with that one.
If I may, could we talk about probably the collaboration that you and I were probably most hyped for, Made in France, Chami, Mala, Mercer, and DJ Snake, the Parisians, the Parisians, the Parisians. It was mostly Mercer. Like, that's it. That's all I got to say. I don't think we got equal representation of the other, you know, the four artists that were in this song. It was like pretty much all Mercer. You know, I felt like,
I mean,
it was like like it was a part two of Let's Get Ill, you know what I mean? Which is a great song.
I think so
but
too.
I don't know, man. It's just Mercer. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if we could dig up some more on that. I don't know if anyone's really focusing on it, but I agree with you, man. It didn't really seem like there was a combination of styles here. I didn't even think about it that way, but it could be just a continuation of Mercer's song, Let's Get Ill, with DJ Snake. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how this worked here. And to be honest, I don't know how it would work. You've got
exactly.
You've got four DJs for a 4-minute song. What, they could each take a minute and just repeat the drum pattern? The same thing. And then like, they're like, oh, this is my drum pattern. Oh, look, it's the same as what they did.
This song is literally just for marketing. I mean, it's basically just a song.
Yeah, like, I think
yeah,
it
then
is.
We have Chami, yeah. Mala, Mercer, and DJ Snake all doing a song together. That's what this song is. I don't think there's any other way to describe it. Now, the song before that one in the track listing here, No More featuring Zoo. I thought it was a good song, dude. I thought Zoo's voice was awesome in this song.
I agree. I thought it was a good song. You know, I'm sure he's good. You know, they both might be. That's how I'm interested. How is DJ Snake going to incorporate a song like No More into his sets?
It's a very different pace than what he normally plays out live.
Very different. Even his more lighter stuff, right? Like, you know, middle, that's a little bit more of the tempo to it, right? Like, it's a little bit more upbeat. So I don't know how this is going to work. Maybe he can end off on something like this. It'll be interesting to see.
This is a weird
song
to end a set with, though, man. I'm going to have to disagree with you on
that. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think it's a good one, but I just can't think, well, is he going to put it in the middle? I guess.
Even that. You're right. It's just like, where do you place this song in a set? You know, because DJ Snake is very, his energy is very high in his sets, and he usually ends with the crowd favorites, Taki Taki, or the middle. This song, I can't see it even being played out live, if I'm being completely honest. We'll just get the vocals in an edit or something.
Well, maybe it's not supposed to be from him. Maybe Zoo is going to be the one playing it out. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to just assume every song needs to be played out live and designed to be so, right? Like, that's just for easy listening, perhaps. You know, on that note, there's a couple of songs I want to talk about here. But on that note, this is what I actually enjoy about the album. There is a nice array of vibes, quote unquote, here. And I think he did a very nice job where it wasn't too all over the place. You know, cough, cough, Chainsmokers. You know, or it sticks true to him. You know, you can hear, maybe apart from you know, Made in France, you can hear his influence, I think, in each one of these songs, and it emphasizes a different aspect to, you know, his music. Right, like you've got the harder stuff in there. Then you've got what he's been more recently doing, you know, the collabs with rappers and people like that. He's got this real Spanish vibe going on,
right?
I mean, Loco Contigo, right, with J Balvin and Tyga. Like, you know, and that's just like Taki Taki. So this is really, I think he's been, it's done quite intentionally, right? It seems like he's almost been building up his track list, you know, the singles and stuff to, and all the different vibes to this album. So I really enjoy this. I thought it was a good one for that perspective. I'm sure you have a couple other songs to me, but the one I want to talk about that I actually really enjoyed was No Option.
Yes.
With Burna Boy.
Yes.
Really enjoyed
that
one.
People are sleeping on this song. This is a really good song.
I don't know why. It's a very, very good song. I was shocked when I heard it. I was like, whoa, this is not, you know,
you got the reggae vibes to it, dude. I love this song.
Love it, man. I'm glad we agree on that. I think that's probably, if there is a song that's going to be, you know, underrated, it's going to be that song.
No doubt.
From this album.
No doubt. And, you know, I just want to call out a couple other songs here before we move on to the next piece of music. But Butterfly Effect, I thought was a great way to open up this album. I actually thought the collaboration with Majid Jordan, the song Recognize, was pretty good. I actually liked it. I'm a big Sean Paul fan. I'm a very big Sean Paul fan. So Fuego was Fuego. That song was fire. I was really, really hyped about it. It's a good party song, guys. It is a good party song. Southside featuring Eptic. Another good song that I was really into. You know, I like Eptic just in general, and I thought his influences on this track and the way that he lays out his drums and the patterns and the drop, perfect. Finally.
Yeah, I want to hear more from him. I want to hear more from Eptic.
Me too, dude. I would love to see Eptic.
Yeah, I
want to
hear more from him.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we've already talked about No Option. Honestly, dude, I want to reiterate one more time, like, No Option is actually a fantastic song, and it's very unfortunate. Yep. I feel like it's, people are going to sleep on it. I don't think it's going to get much attention, and I'm really bummed about that, because Burna Boy, who is the vocalist in this track, amazing, so good, fit the vibe perfectly, and DJ Snake produces a great song for him to be on top of. So this is such a good song. And then actually the closing track, Paris, I thought was an awesome way to close out the album. I think, like, the way that this song, that this album is laid out from beginning to end, was perfect. Like, I really feel like he really took the time to think about, there's a lot of different styles on this album, and he wanted to keep it interesting, wanted to keep it moving, wanted to keep the tempos up and then the tempos down, and I think this is a really, really well done crafted album.
Yeah, it's a true album, man. It's an album where, you know, he's looking at it, I think you can listen from Butterfly Effect, right, all the way down In Order to Paris,
right?
And I feel like that's really what albums used to be more like and geared towards, and we've kind of stepped a bit away from that. But it's nice to see him returning to that. And so I agree with you, man. I think he really, or at least, you know, him or someone on his team too, really thought about this, you know, executed it perfectly. Totally. I really like this album. It's a very solid album.
Yeah, totally agreed, man. And look, I've talked about this before. I'm not the biggest DJ Snake fan, but I was really, really pleasantly surprised by what he was able to put out here. So we're going to get into rating it in just a little bit, but we have to talk about this next release. Skrillex, the Show Tracks EP. Oh my God. This was so fucking good. This is so good.
Yeah, I agree, man. This was just, I've been waiting for this. I mean, did he play, am I mistaken, but I'm pretty sure he played this when we saw him for Second Sky.
Both of these songs. He played both of these songs. We're talking, of course, about Fuji Opener, which I have been wanting for so long. It's such a good song. It really is. Great song. And then Mumbai Power and just the vibes and the layers and just everything about it. I mean, it's only two tracks, but this is so damn good.
Totally agree with you, Matt. I mean, this is just, I love the direction that Skrillex is going with these two songs.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. And just hearing it live at Second Sky was just, it was incredible. It was awesome. And, it, you know, we talked about this actually a little bit at Second Sky, and I think it's a good time to talk about it briefly now and here, is it seems like Skrillex is starting to merge kind of his Dog Blood sound with his Skrillex sound.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And he's including both styles in his sets. And I'm not going to lie, it works.
It works
and
so well, dude.
I didn't think it would, in all honesty. I wasn't sure if it would. I just couldn't put those two sounds together. But his newer stuff, let's just say, like, he, you know, plays some of his classics, right? But in his newer sets, he's not really playing on the majority of his classics. The new songs, like the harder ones that he had with Troy Boy, right? You know, that works very well with, you know, the Show Tracks EP. It really does. It switches it up. But, it, you know, people are continuously moving. And I feel like Skrillex is that way. He wants to keep people moving all the time. And the Show Tracks EP is a great way just to get people moving, right? Like, you could drop all these bangers with the big drops and stuff. But that doesn't mean that people are going to be always moving if you do, you know, back-to-back big drops, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And these songs like this is great to open up with, as well as just to get people moving again. So I was really excited that this came out, and I love this EP.
Nice, man. All right, listeners, let's get into rating it. So here on Beyond the Beats, we have a very unique rating scale. You know, returning listeners, you guys already know this part, so feel free to skip ahead a little bit. And new listeners, welcome. We have a unique rating scale here on Beyond the Beats, and it's levels 1 through 5. And level 1 is, you know, the lowest level that we usually give to tracks, and level 5 is the highest. So starting from level 1, we call it One Listen. It's basically where Alec and I will pick up a piece of music and we'll talk about it, you know, but that's probably going to be the only time that we really listen to this piece. And, you know, we're encouraging you guys to at least give the track one listen. Level 2 is called Background Noise, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but, you know, if a song comes on in the background, you're not going to really make much of an effort to change it. You know, you don't really care if it's there. You might be doing other things and it's whatever. It's just, it's there in the background to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call Turn It Up. It's when a song comes on and it propels you to grab the volume knob and crank it up, blast it out loud. And level 4 is what we call Just Bought Tickets. It's when you hear a piece of music and it propels you to want to, you know, look up the tour dates for an artist that you were listening to and try to find out when they're coming to your city next, because you just got to hear them live. You just got to hear more. And level 5 is Speechless. It's when you hear a piece of music and it's just you and the tune, and that's all that matters. Everything else fades away. So just to reiterate real quick, level 1 is One Listen. Level 2 is Background Noise. Level 3 is Turn It Up. Level 4 is Just Bought Tickets. And level 5 is Speechless. Alec.
Yes, sir.
What did you think of DJ Snake Carte Blanche? That's how I'm pronouncing it from now on.
Aside from the pronunciation, I really liked it, man. I'm going to give it a level 4 out of 5, Just Bought Tickets. I enjoyed it. I really did. You know, I thought it would be maybe just to Turn It Up for me, but there are a few songs in here, you know, particularly as the one we talked about with Burna Boy, that makes me really, really want to see some of these songs live. So that's why I'm going to give it a Just Bought Tickets level 4 out of 5. What about you?
You know, it's interesting, Alec, because I was also having a very hard time deciding between a Turn It Up and I just bought tickets, but I'm very, very impressed with DJ Snake's creativity and just his range as well for the kind of music that he can put out. And I think that this album is just a testament to the fact that he is a good artist. Maybe not the best performer to see live, just because I don't like how much he talks on the mic, and I'm trying to separate that from this album itself. Like, if we're talking about just this album right here, I'm going to give this a Just Bought Tickets. This is a Just Bought Tickets album. I can't wait to hear some of these tracks live. I'm sure I'll see him again soon. And I'm very impressed. So, you know what, DJ Snake? You really knocked it out of the park with this one. Like, congratulations on your full album release. This is a solid release.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm right there with you.
Word up, dude. Well, dude, we got to talk about Skrillex, the Show Tracks EP. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm also going to give this a level 4 out of 5. Just bought
tickets.
Damn it.
I thought we were finally going to get a speechless from you.
No, not yet, man. It's not leaving me speechless. Yeah, it's great, but it's not speechless level for me. It's not.
All right.
I don't know. It's just not quite there yet, man. Not quite there. It's gonna take a lot. It's going to have to be something that is, you know, pretty special in my books. But this is still special, just maybe not to the, God, that sounds incredibly arrogant, but it's not to the Alec level of, you know, just making my jaw drop.
Right.
But dude, please do not let that sentiment detract from the fact that Show Tracks EP by Skrillex is just fucking phenomenal.
It really is.
It's an amazing, amazing EP. Yeah. There's Beyond the Beats listeners, there's no such thing as decimals on here. That's Samir's thing, not mine. So I can't give you a scale of how it is. You know, it's his rule. So this is definitely, if there were decimals, hypothetically, it'd be towards the speechless 5 out of 5. But for now, I'm giving it Just Bought Tickets level 4 out of 5.
I'm gonna cut that out. I'm gonna cut all this out from what I'm editing the podcast. No, we don't do decimals on the show.
Damn it.
No, I'm messing around. Obviously, it's still in the show, listeners, because you can hear it. But okay, 4 out of 5. I honestly really thought we were gonna get the speechless from you. I'm like a little bit surprised that we didn't get a speechless from you on this one, but you know, I'm hoping that we do at some point. Oh my god. I am having a really hard time deciding right now. Okay, I'm gonna do it. This is a speechless. This is a speechless.
Whoa.
Yeah,
my lord, really, we need like effects really... like
yeah, exactly.
You know, some like
just like damn. Confetti just popped from my computer. This is just an amazing, amazing EP. It's only 2 tracks, but my God, like I said, I've been listening to Fuji Opener for a very long time, but it's always been like live rips and you know, just people recording the concert and posting on SoundCloud. But like the fact that we got full quality and just every layer is so well tuned. The vocal sample, which I believe is from Alvin Risk, that's why he is featured on this EP or on this track, is so immaculate. It just sounds so damn good. And then Mumbai Power, man, I feel like it gets you into the feels a little bit. Like, this is so great. I've never heard of Beam before. That's who's featured on this track. But, you know, this is like just a powerhouse of a song and a powerhouse of an EP. And I've already heard both of these tracks live, and I can't wait to hear them live again, because Skrillex is so good, and this EP is just a testament to that.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we're on. You know, I didn't quite give it the same rating as you are, but you know, I expressed the same sentiment with it.
Yeah,
man. Like, this was just awesome, awesome stuff.
Sweet. All right, guys, before we leave the show, we have to talk about the artists that we're watching, a staple here on the show. Man, I think that's the one, that's probably what I missed the most about not doing an episode last week, is like talking about new artists that we're watching, because this is probably one of my favorite parts of doing this podcast, is just spotlighting new artists that are just deserving of everybody's attention. They're making moves, they're unique, they're cultivating their own sound, and you know what? We got to be out there, we got to help them, man. But dude, maybe I should start this one. You can tell the backstory of why we were laughing at the beginning of this episode here. But, you know, during our off week, I had selected this artist, Remk. That's spelled R-E-M-K. And this was last week. And I was like, Alec, this is my artist already. Like, I've already got it figured out. Like even a week before we decided to record this podcast. And you got to take a listen to this. And he's like, yeah, dude, this is a banger, right? And then, Alec, tell me what happened this morning, dude.
All right, to be fair, it had been a while and I saved stuff to my SoundCloud. That's how I kind of find people. So I was just saving, you know, people that I thought were good. So I really liked the song that Samir sent me, and I forgot that I saved it to a playlist that I usually use to, you know, keep track of the people and find new people I want to feature on the show. So I inadvertently saved it to the wrong playlist on my SoundCloud. Took a look at it this morning. I was like, oh yeah, this guy. And I was like, this is so awesome. I love this guy. You're going to love my guy. So I texted it over to him and he's like, dude, this is my guy, my man. You can't take him. So I was like, shit.
Oh my god!
I couldn't believe it. I felt
it was just a big bruh moment. I was like, bruh,
just taking you. I was like, yeah, great tips, mate. Great for the tip off. Thank you. I'm gonna now steal your thunder here and feature him on the show. But no, it's.
I mean, you gotta know. I mean, if Alec and I have both selected this artist, then you gotta know. Like, this guy Remke is actual fire. Very talented. All right, I'm going to play for you this song. It's called Flip It. Check it out.
Oh, you can see why I wanted to select him for myself. This is just, it's insane. I love this drop.
It's so good, dude. And there's so many, he's just constantly changing up the drop. And that's what I like about it. Like, it keeps it very, very interesting. And all his music is really like this. And it hasn't gone unnoticed, listeners. Let me tell you guys that right now. It has not gone unnoticed. This guy, Remke from Long Beach, California, is actually garnering the attention of people like 4B, Skrillex, Party Favor. According to 1001 Tracklist, I mean, his music, and I believe this is an unreleased song, has been circulated to big names like 4B, Skrillex, and Party Favor. So this guy is garnering attention. He's turning heads. He's only got 1,350 followers on Instagram and only 2,300 followers on SoundCloud. But I implore you guys to please go to the show notes, check out his SoundCloud, and follow him. He needs your attention. This guy is so good.
I totally agreed, man. Even though I tried to steal your thunder on finding this
asshole guy.
exactly. Damn it. But I found it. No, he was awesome. But I tell you what, this is somebody I was actually going to feature in a week from now because I wanted to reach out to my guy for this week. But we're doing it earlier. I'm going to reach out after. But my man Banza, B-A-N-Z-A, is a guy from Serbia. And, you know, it's really funny because he only has 890 or so followers on SoundCloud. But his song, Blow Your Mind, quite literally blew up. And it was supported by Mala and Charmy, no other than the two current house legends. So this is, you know, that just shows that he's got some stuff. But I'm telling you what, he needs more support from this. I can't believe that he can have that song featured from them. I mean, Marla's included in the mix, Charmy's included in the mix, you know, and he's still only got 890. So hopefully we can give him a boost here. But you can hear it building up in the background right now. Here is the song Blow Your Mind. Take a listen.
Fire. Absolute fire.
Absolute fire, man. Absolute fire. Like,
how did you find him?
Just, you know, man, I don't even know. I just sometimes just go through, and the thing that I've been doing recently is going to some of the artists that we're watching and then going into who they're reposting and who they like and just kind of going down the cookie trail that way. So I honestly found him because I need to go back and find who reposted it, because, you know, there's a bunch of SoundCloud accounts that repost songs like this, you know, from lower end people. But yeah, that's how I found it. I just found it in the feed and I couldn't believe it, man. You know, another song that was really good, it's his more recent release, is called Guarana. Definitely go check that out. That's more of a bass house mix, but I figured, you know, I'd play Blow Your Mind since that's the one that has been blowing up.
Let's play Guarana right now.
Screw it. Yeah, this is the one that I actually sent to you this morning, Samir. So this is Guarana by Banga.
This is the first song I listened to this morning, just so you know. When I woke up, after being out last night, I threw this song on, and just a great way to start the day. This is so good. This song is Thick, THICC, and listeners, you'll get that reference if you go and check out this song on SoundCloud. But this is a dope song.
It really is, man. And it's just, again, it just shows. This is what I love about this section. This is exactly what I miss, and I'm sure you'll share the same sentiments to me. It's amazing to go out and find these people and just see how much talent there is out there that is not getting the spotlight maybe that it deserves. But it's just so refreshing to see that every week we can go and find a new artist.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, it's amazing just how deep this goes, like down the rabbit hole. There's so many great producers out there. And it's just, I just like being able to talk about it and hopefully, you know, help them along the way and just share my love for some of those underground songs. Because, you know, what we're essentially doing, man, you know, we're really looking at who the next big producers are going to be and trying to look and find that and help people along the way. So, listeners, I hope you guys, you know, and gals really enjoy the artists that we're watching section. We sure have an amazing time doing it. And if there are any artists out there that want to be featured and want to see, DM us on Instagram or tweet at us, or you can find an email. All of this, again, the links will be in the show notes to it. So it'll be very easy. Just click on it and contact us. Please reach out. And, you know, we want to thank everybody too for on our Instagram post. We had a lot of people commenting on it.
Awesome.
We've been working through all of it. It was awesome to see that. And I just love, because again, it's just more music, the better. So please reach out. You know, we're going to get back to everybody. Can't guarantee that everybody's going to get on, but, you know, please send us your stuff and we'll let you know our thoughts. And yeah, anything else to add on to that, Samir? I just wanted to, you know, really thank everybody for helping out other producers
that was
and
perfect.
Commenting on our post.
That was perfect, man. Seriously. And I share the same sentiment as Alec. This is really like my favorite part of the podcast, and I love exploring new music, and I love seeing, like you said on our Instagram post, artists supporting artists. That was awesome. And honestly, dude, I already know which one of those artists I'm picking for my artist that I'm watching next week.
Ooh.
Yeah, I already know it, because I'm not gonna spoil it, but really, really, just, it's a great community that we have here, and we're trying to do our part to help out artists that we think are deserving of more attention. And you know what? Thank you guys so much for supporting the local artists that you guys are fans of and for sharing them with us. Like, this is how we help artists grow. We have to help them by sharing their sound and sharing their story and sharing their music. And this is why I love doing this part of the podcast. But wow, man, I really miss podcasting, dude. I really miss doing our show. Like, this is, I feel so good. Like, it just feels
Agreed.
Really, really great to be back at it. Hopefully we didn't scare any listeners. Like, we weren't going anywhere. It's just always good sometimes to, you know, take a break, recharge, and relax. And it's summertime, so, you know, we want to spend time with our friends and family. But thank you guys for being understanding of that. I was concerned that people would be very upset, but it seemed like people were pretty understanding that it's okay to take a break every once in a while. But that's it for episode 24 of Beyond the Beats, baby. And guys, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the day that the episode is released, check out what we have coming for you on Thursday, tomorrow. I think you're really going to like it.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that, man.
Yeah, me too. But all right, Alec, that's it on my end, man. I will talk to you soon, right?
Yeah, definitely, man. As always, thank you again, listeners. And, you know, if you're really liking the podcast, please, you know, feel free to leave us a little review or just contact us with any of your thoughts. It really goes a long way to making sure we're spreading the love and, you know, we can hopefully give artists a little bit more of a platform and that we can show the world how talented they are. So thank you again and talk to you next week.
All right. Peace.